This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast.
I had that old, like, allergy cough. Like, something broke loose and put that on the Marty recording.
Right. You don't want the first seconds of the recording to sound like that.
No, I did light up a J and fucking did
get your fucking chair back out.
Did a pretty nice, like, mellow intro. You may have to listen to it.
Oh, Jesus. You're like, this is the stuff I do before I call him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I don't know if you've ever, like, listened to the front half, but there's usually a good, like, 5 minutes of
me
just, like, bullshitting around. I leave messages in there just for you, hoping you hear them. Like, one time I told you how much I loved you, and I was like, well, hopefully when he listens to this, it'll make him feel better.
I'm not sure if I heard that one. Now I feel a bit about this. You're back in that chair again.
Yeah, man. All that fucking moving around and shit, dude. Like, I got to go get my nerves and my back fried again soon. Be like, hey, what was the deal? If it came back and it hurt again, you were just going to fry them permanently and I was never going to feel this kind of feeling again? Because I like that too. Like, I know I was only supposed to get a year, but I got a solid, like, 2.5, almost 3 out of it. I'd really like to go back to that lifestyle.
Yeah, right. And I couldn't feel a thing.
Yeah, now I fucking got the heat on the back, but sitting on my computer chair, man, like, I bought that thing when I was a little fatter for my weight. Well, I'm under the weight, so, like, I don't even dent that goddamn memory foam seat, dude. It's just, like, sitting on a fucking hard square that's supposed to be soft all day. Like, the first time you jump on a memory foam bed and you go, oh, that doesn't, like, catch me and take me in right away. It's like, no, then you sink. Like, I don't ever get to the sinking part.
Kind of float on top.
Yeah, I had to go get the zebra chair, and I was like, I need something soft to sit on. Like, it's fucking absurd right now. My tailbone shouldn't feel like it's at the bottom of my skull.
Yeah, right. 5-hour energy.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking it down.
Yep. 8 p.m. is probably not the time to do that, but...
For you, it is.
Yeah, I figure if I go to bed by 2 o'clock, I can be up at 8. No problems. Now, yesterday was a whole different story. I don't know what the fuck was going on with me, man. That was like allergies / head cold, like blankets too warm, blanket off is way too fucking cold, like sweatpants, short sleeve combination ain't cutting it. Didn't matter. Just, like one side clear as day, the other side, like, move my head and just feel the fluid around. I remember starting the show and, like, just waking up and, like, everything on my computer and everything was just, like, dimmed down because I hadn't moved or touched for, like, so long. And I was like, you know what?
What time is it?
Yeah. And it was only like 9 o'clock, I think, or some shit like that. Maybe no, because I woke up, it was right before the podcast, like 8, I think, is like when I finally maybe messaged you semi coherently. And then I went and took some fucking Z-Quil, dude, because I was like, I'm not letting this, like, 45-minute cat nap I just took, like, be that, like, extra energizer for the rest of the night. I was like, no. We're going to bed at a decent fucking hour tonight. The way you have felt all day today, don't you dare fucking stay up.
Yeah, right. But you finished the episode today, right? You got through it all?
Yeah, no, I restarted it and watched it all over again, because, like, even as I was going through watching the parts that I thought I watched, I went, I don't remember that scene at all. Where the fuck did that come from? But then I remembered, like, the next half second, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. That's probably when I was blinking real slow and real heavy and not realizing what was happening.
That's okay. My wife and I were watching Dune last night, like the original movie. And I was like
Red Sand, young fucking, why can't it Val Kilmer in it?
No,
right?
It's not Val Kilmer. It's the guy from Showgirls. I hate saying that because it's not the only thing he's ever been in, but it's the thing I remember him from.
Really? I thought Val Kilmer was in Dune. Who's the big guy in Dune? Like, who's the name in Dune then? I could have swore there was...
Well, it was his first appearance, so he wasn't a big guy at the beginning, but he is now.
Oh, there's a new Dune film coming out in 2020?
Yeah, that's why we're talking about it right now. That's why I brought it up. Kyle MacLachlan is in it. He plays Paul Atreides, which is pretty much the main character.
Okay. Maybe I just mistook that fucking clean cheek line right there.
Friggin' Patrick Stewart's in it too. Like 3 years before he started Next Generation. Like he is still. I mean, it's literally the Patrick Stewart we all know and love from the '90s and '80s. It's great, and he has it's a small part. There's a bunch of like, oh, that guy, the dude who used to run the computer who tagged along with Scott Bakula in Quantum Leap. Dean Stockwell. Is that right? Dean Stockwell. God dang it, I was right. So yeah, bunch of folks you recognize.
What the fuck was the name of the goddamn robot that he always slapped in fucking
Quantum Leap? Quantum Leap.
Yeah, always hitting that fucking handheld, man.
Hey, Sting is in it, like the singer, not the wrestler. You have to make the difference in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, hey, speaking of wrestlers, did you watch that Ric Flair 30 for 30?
No, I didn't, but that's probably pretty interesting.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's pretty dope. Like, I didn't know, like, Sting was essentially his protege. Like, I never knew that.
But I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah, but, like, when Sting was kind of, like, becoming Sting, like, he wrestled Flair, and Flair, like, trained with him and basically kind of, like, made him what he is. Like, that's pretty much what Sting says. He's like, if it wasn't for him, man, I fucking wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of those stories in wrestling. Like, if this guy hadn't worked with me in this match and hadn't gone over, you know, hadn't put me over, then I wouldn't be where I am and wouldn't have had.
I think one of the coolest ones was when Hogan was talking about him. You know, Hogan was like, you know, I get a lot of glory for being, you know, the greatest wrestler of all time. He goes, but I tell everybody that's Flair. He goes, it's Rick. Mm-hmm. He goes, I think the first time we wrestled, it was an hour-long match. And he goes, I maybe only done 3 of these. He goes, Rick's already got 100 under his belt after like the first 2 months, you know. He's like, he's been doing 100 an hour long matches entertaining people for years now and stuff. And it was actually a really good like 30 for 30. Like, you loved him as a wrestler, kind of don't like him as a human, you know, but it's all one of those. That's Ric Flair, man. Like, you either dig it or don't,
right? I'll check that out. That's on ESPN Plus. I get all the 30 for 30s on ESPN Plus, right?
Yeah, so like when you go to ESPN, like, they're sneaky. If you just click the watch, it just takes you to like the basic bullshit.
Right.
But if you go click on the actual nice little ESPN Plus right by it, it takes you to the same watch shit, but then it goes, hey, here's all the ESPN split, like right below it. Just scroll down a little bit more. And I'm like, why? If I got it, just make it one fucking button and let me go. Like, don't, I have it, so don't segregate it from me, man.
That's messed up, man.
It's a bad menu system. Fix it.
Right. But yes, there is a new Dune movie coming out. And so my wife, Dune is one of her like fond memories from childhood, like movies. I think she actually likes the TV show better.
Her history when it comes to movies and TVs, like, just blows my mind on the things like she doesn't know, but then the shit that's like her jam of all the things that it was, so that little nugget on the far reaches of film and TV, you somehow stumbled across without running across any of these other things on the road that everybody sees. And she's like, nope. And I'm like, I have no idea how that's possible. You are right. breaking my brain every time I hear it.
No, my favorite thing to tell her is that her absolute drop dead favorite show ever, if it's on or if she's just in a mood, she's just going to go turn it on and watch it, is Futurama, which normally, I mean, that's great. Except, so when I sit down to watch it with her here and there, whenever I'm, you know, okay, I'll sit down and watch it with you, I start laughing at parts of the show that are pop culture references that are hilarious. The problem is that she doesn't know any pop culture references because she didn't have cable through the 80s and 90s, which is literally where all that shit is based off of. And so there's been times where I told her, listen, We're going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, we're going to start on episode one, and every time I laugh and you don't, I'm going to go Google what I'm laughing about, make you understand it, and then push play again and continue on. So,
I think that was the story you told me that I went, huh? Right? Like, right. You were like, yeah, dude, she loves it, but she doesn't know half the shit because she's never seen it. I was like, hold on, explain that a little bit more. And then you tell me things like Dunes are jam, and I'm like, but she didn't run across like Five Goes West or something. Like, nope, never witnessed it in her life. It's like,
I don't know.
You were born, like, you were stuck in a time capsule, and then someone magically found you.
Like, that's what I mean. It kind of, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, she didn't have cable as a kid, so it's whatever you're getting on the antennas, man.
Yeah, like, she's a couple steps away from like Brendan Fraser.
Go ahead, light up. I know you're digging for it. Did you find your lighter finally?
Well, actually, I was looking for my phone. I was like, I know it's got sound on it. And I was like, so where did I sit? And I was like, I'm sitting in a couch again. Bet you it's in the crack over here. And I was like, yeah, there it is. Until it worked. Until it did shit today. I feel good.
Yeah, right. Your eyes looks good.
Yeah, I was all fucking like kind of bummed out for telling my sister-in-law like what I did, you know, like it don't make me feel good. I was all like, today I was just. It's weird, dude. It's weird because like before, I used to never give a fuck what anybody thought, like anybody ever, and that's probably why like I lost good friends and shit like that and stuff. So now it's like my pendulum swung all the way to the other end, and it's like, hey, we're gonna make you nice for a while. Like, all right, now I'm nice, but I still gotta have that like. Hey, you're walking on me, fuck off. But that's still like feeling bad about it is a little bit there. So like today though, after organizing the garage and cleaning it up and shit, I was like, yeah, I feel good. That was the right decision. Yup. Fuck her. We're good.
Yeah. Just gotta ease into it a little bit. You'll be fine. But yeah, there's a new Dune movie. There's a new Dune movie coming out. I think next year they're just now releasing the stylized, like the photos from the set that are like posed all nice and they're all rendered right and all the stuff's in the background needs to be there. So
have you're kind of getting put out who the cast is or anything. Just like,
yes.
Okay. So who's the draw? Like, why are we going to watch this?
Oh, here, I'll tell you who the cast is stupid. Okay. The only person you may not know is the guy who plays Paul Atreides. I don't really know him, Timothy Chalamet, whatever. Anyways, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, and that's just the main chunk. Jeez. That's insane.
This is basically like one of those Valentine's Day movies where like right. Everybody has 10 minutes for the 2-hour movie, you know, and they have 90 actors in it. Like, damn, I wonder who called in favors on this. Like, the guy that wrote this was like, and pulling my string right now.
Let's see. The writer is Eric Roth. The director is Denis Villeneuve, who directed Blade Runner 2049, which is pretty much, they're like, okay, the guy who did that did a pretty good job, so let's do that again.
Yeah, let's one keep more him time. In the same area and redo this one.
Right. He did Sicario. He did Blade Runner 2049. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing.
The guy knows how to film big movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So he is definitely on board for that. Why does it say Dune the Sisterhood? Is that what they're calling it? That's not what they're calling it. Anyways. Yep. So it's coming out in 2020 at some point. So I'm guessing there's going to be trailers coming out here soon because I think it's coming in like December or something. It's late this year. But definitely going to have to see that.
I hope they do all movies now, like they've kind of done for the little ones, like home releases as well.
Mm-hmm. Because
I would watch so many more movies that are about to come out if I could watch it from home. Because it's just always like, I don't want to go in the middle of the week unless you got a buddy.
Right. But
parents, children, whatever, dude, it's easier for me to sit down at 9 o'clock after they're all in bed and be like, hey, I'm going to watch this new movie. Cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I hope change or they continue doing after everything is lifted down the road that could be pretty cool to change society in general. I don't know, we'll see. I'm hoping a lot of businesses realize
pretty sure my grand scheme of better public transportation is now completely shot out the fucking window in America.
Right. I hope all the big companies realize how stupid it is to have office space and just have everybody work from home and then just rent conference rooms when you need to have people come together physically. You know, oh, here's a conference room to rent. Should I show up, do your thing, and go back home to your work?
Yeah. I mean, outside of, I'd say like big cities, like their offices, not all of them need to be there. But, you know, because there are just some people that are like, I'm not working from home, homie. Like, I like going to the office. Right. I think you find more people that are like commuters like us will be like, yo, that work from home shit, all about it, brother. Like,
right.
You know. Not going up and down. Not going up and down.
I don't need to go in this office and watch how little work you fucking do when I go home and I work 8 straight hours from the desk in my basement. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that was like, I remember one time, like, they went on like one of our old projects. They finally let us work from home just because something was going on. And like the comment was like, man, you guys got a lot of work done. And like my reply was, yeah, because I just didn't spend 2 hours driving to fucking work.
Like, yeah, right.
I just got up what I normally did and started working. You got an extra 2 hours out of me because I was wide the fuck awake.
Yep. And I also didn't spend 2 hours at your desk talking about your kids and your stupid dog.
Yeah, I never had any of that problem. Like everybody I ever worked with, like, was always chill. And like when it was time to talk, we talked. But it was never that, like, constant day-to-day of, like, hey, Jimmy, what the fuck's going on? Don't care, dude. I talked to you yesterday. There's nothing that could have happened in this 13 hours that fucking... Because 9 of it, you should have probably been sleeping. So don't tell me in this 3-hour gap, fucking something magical happened that I need to know about.
Yeah, you're a joy to work for, to work with.
I'm just saying, man. That is the people who are the constant day-to-day talkers that... are just talking to people to talk. Like, you and I were buddies. So
true.
We bullshitted most of it. And it was like, hey, here's an annoyance. I'm going to joke about it so that annoyance doesn't happen for 10 minutes. And I'll get a reprieve and then we'll go back about our business, right? Like, just the walking in, hey, how are you doing? Those people, what I just described, take it in your brains.
That's right.
And store it the fuck away.
Right. Yeah, the ones that come in, sit down, log in, get up, go get coffee, come back, log in, check an email, get up, go get breakfast. Like, it's like, well, it's been 5 hours and you've not been on the computer for 3 minutes. Like, that's awesome. Like, well done. The way you've got that worked out, that's magic right there.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if you smoke, don't ever talk to me about breaks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's okay. I'm gonna work. I take smoke breaks now, and I don't smoke. I used to smoke, and I know exactly how much time I didn't friggin' work. So when I'm standing by my desk, googling on something, you ask me what it's like. I'm taking a smoke break. I was like, I only have to work 45 minutes out of this hour because that fucking guy doesn't have to.
Right.
So screw you.
Yeah, that's
come back here when my smoke break's done.
That was always my argument with my boss when he would get shit, and I'd be like, you smoke, man. Like 2 hours of your fucking days off clock.
Yep.
Oh.
Crazy.
And I understand a lot of wheeling and dealing happens in the smoking parties. I get that.
Fuck off with that shit, too.
Yeah, that's annoying. But all I'm saying is, like, don't ever second guess someone else's work or breaks. Like, if you're just, like, going about your business and you go smoke and then you don't ever say shit about someone else breaking or not working, cool. Do your shit, man. Don't care. But like when you're that dude that is most likely a manager or a boss who takes fucking breaks and then calculates everybody else's bullshit, you can go suck a fat fucking dick.
All right. Enough work talk. I don't know how much of that I'm going to include in the podcast. We'll find out.
Just to suck a big fat fucking dick.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's going to keep that sound.
The only
clip
thing
forever.
That makes it.
Episode 3. Called Nobody's Queen. Pretty good episode still. A lot of backstory, a lot of like exact verbiage pulled from the comic books. The entire stuff in the backstory, if I'm not mistaken, was almost word for word some of the comic books, if not like shot, like not shot for shot, but like I remember like comic book number 5 or something is the big gold thing being put on her head. And like that whole conversation about the miners and the people who are like, we're starving. Can we please just, we don't even want more food. Just let us take a few more folks and put them in the agriculture to grow some more food for us. Like that is verbatim out of the book. And the riots and her being like, I'm their queen. Let me talk to them. All that shit straight from the comic books. And the fact that Lazaro is there at the riots, like as a lesser guy, mm-hmm. like he was like that. All that's from the comic book. It was great. I was there going like the whole episode. I'm like, that's from the comic book. That's from the comic book. That's from the comic book. It's like just begging because the rest of the episode is not from the comic book. So I like that they're at least they're keeping
yeah,
some
and
of
that.
It.
That right there is what turned me away from The Walking Dead like immediately. Because it was, hey, we use the characters' names, but then like major things from the comic, they're like, nah. And you're like, nope, not the same. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to watch this until years down the road when it's probably all said and done and I can appreciate it for what it is. But right now I'm reading these graphic novels and y'all are pissing me off.
Yeah, right? Yeah, well, it's still going on, so you still can't watch it yet. I don't know.
Yeah, but there's like... what, been 10 seasons now or some
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, 10
like,
or 11, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's been enough gone and enough of the novel that I'm not in anymore, you know? That like, I could go right. watch that and be like, respect, man. All right, cool.
To be honest, I've read one through, I think, 100 of the comics, and it's a respect. They're both great in their own respects. Yes, if you try to compare the two or you try to, like follow the plot for the two, it ain't happening. Like it's just not.
Yeah,
so,
and I was way too into like chain reading the graphic novels when the show happened to
yep.
be able to separate the two. I was like, huh? So and so ain't dead? What? You know, or that person's not here? Who the fuck's this guy, right? Yeah.
Right. So how do you like the fact that we get to learn a pretty damn good portion of the backstory, which is nice. Like, we pretty much know how she got completely where she's at. We know pretty much why she's queen. Well, okay, her mom told a story.
Yeah, we still don't.
And it still doesn't understand why her mom isn't queen already. Like, I don't understand if it's from the dad.
Well, see, yeah, that right there. Like, that is the only thing that could make this work the way it works is daddy gave
is the bloodline.
Mama the baby, and the bloodline's coming from daddy, but daddy's not there. Like, he died or something like that, so it was...
That's her, the one thing
it, yeah, and then as soon as
know.
She became of age to, like, actually, quote-unquote, think freely, they're probably like, she's queen.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He died early. She had to take the throne. The mother's just her mom.
Yeah, the mother was the... what the fuck is it called?
The vessel, the carrier. She carried the kid.
No, where the mom acts as the act, like she's the queen regent or whatever until the child is grown.
What is it called? Queen mother? Is that what it's called? Isn't that actually a term, queen mother?
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's.
I don't know either.
One of the two, but it's like you're just the sitting queen until the real queen is able to make decisions or at least listen to a group of people.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that with. Coupled with all of the where we currently are, all of her loyalists, like we saw them before, like in the belly of the space station with their like one ship that they said they had in a group of people. But you realize in this episode that they have amassed an army that at least to them, they're like, okay, we can now reasonably take on the Republic. You know, they're like, we can now take it to them and stand a chance. But, you know, we've made a big enough army.
Yeah. And I feel like you as the viewer kind of go, I don't think your army is as really big as you think it is. Like the Republic now, from wherever you guys have got your info, is massive. Like when they speak of them and their blanketing just made everybody mad. You know, like, they're huge. But then I also want to know, you have dudes like Lazaro, who are obviously, maybe he was in the Republic then, or maybe he was just a dude that was revolting. And like, I'm fucking starving, I'm hungry, like, kill the queen, get rid of this empire, right? And then the Republic kind of comes along and is like, hey, we want to do that. And he's like, well, sign me the fuck up, because I don't like her, right? I want to know that side a little bit too. Like, I hate when they make the other side, just this all imposing, like, they're just bad guys, don't worry about it. And it's like, okay, I get that, but also very rarely is someone just a bad guy to quote unquote be a bad guy.
Right.
Like, something has happened to make those decisions down the road. Like, I hope we get a little bit more of the why the Republic even happened kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, there seems to be, if I remember from the comic books, because I don't think I finished 6 yet. And I'm not sure if it continues after 6. I have to go check the thing. But there's a little bit more of Lazaro's story in the comic books, and I'm sure they'll probably get to it in another flashback, like why he is. Because, yeah, he definitely joins, I think, after the revolt. He's definitely part of, like, some... He's royalty. Like, he's not royalty, but he's, like, son of somebody who's, you know, kind of important within, mm-hmm. like, their planet type thing. And he's just... And he's the black sheep. He doesn't want any part of that lifestyle. And so he's been hanging around with the people that are leading this uprising. And then that in turn becomes a republic or whatever. That's still kind of in the air in the comic books from what I'm reading so far too. The loyalists' plan, we get that little teaser at the end where they don't even, that she's just a means to the end because they want the Sherzad. Is that the right word?
Yeah, they want whatever power Daddy had.
That little rock thing or whatever. Yeah, Steerzad. There we go. Yeah. They want that.
Because even when they said it, I went, huh? Like, damn it, y'all couldn't have made that a cleaner word.
Yeah, something like magic rock. Just say it so
gotta,
we know exactly what it is.
I got a show that a few people that I know listen to. Got to make these words easier for me to talk about.
Especially you.
Hey, I'll let you know that my Grammarly tells me weekly that I am in my own little threshold of words compared to the general population of typers and everything. So,
and you go right back to that app every week, which is playing right into their hand.
Yeah, because it's a great app.
Okay.
You've never used Grammarly?
I have not. What is it? I asked that question so bad.
No, it's a simple like grammar corrector as you type. Like, but it goes across to everything, and then it bases on your typing your words, kind of like Google email does now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was doing that before they were doing it, and so I was like, this is great. Like, this really fucking makes shit way faster. Like, it got to the point where I can type the first two letters of shit and it would be like, and I may have to change the end. I'm like, yep, that's exactly how I talk. Thank you for memorizing that algorithm. Saves me lots of time.
I have now been turned into digital.
Like I'm basically giving all the computers anything they can about me in the hopes that they're like, yo, do you want a virtual life? I'm like, yes, please, fucking do this shit. Let's roll, my man.
Yeah. Upload my consciousness, please.
Because by the time I'm dead, like it, none of, they can have all the shit they want. Like, if they're not making new people, like, none of it benefits me. So go ahead, fucking take it. I'm in the dirt. Like, I don't care. I'm just waiting for my own golem. I don't care. Make me just a translucent fucking thing that can walk and talk and have fun. Whatever.
I'm right. Cool. Gotcha. I like how you referenced Picard in the middle of that. Like, make me a golem. I want to become an alien. I want to become an android man.
I bring it all together. That way, if somebody hopped in on this one, they're like, oh, shit, they talked about Picard. I know about no Picard. They go, bam, Picard, bam. And then we talk about other shit. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. Backtracking through the whole catalog.
Oh, man. Let's see. What else do we have? We've got Winniebot's been all fixed. So she's nice and like...
snarky.
A great awesome. Snarky. Yeah, like, I love the first thing she does, like, allow me to list off everything that's wrong with this ship
in
detail.
The best part is the way she sets it up. Now that the pleasantries are over, it would be beneficial or wise for me to state all the problems with this fucking thing. And I went, ooh, that robot is going to sass the fuck out of them in this show. Like, ooh, yeah. Like, they're going to be the inanimate object that you appreciate. You're like, mm-hmm. Don't fuck
like
with
nothing
that.
Can ever happen to her.
Yeah,
the entire
like
time.
Even when there's that weird situation where the robot is like stuck in the fucking corner and there's the bad guy, like it'll somehow like electrocute the hell out of him and you go, yeah!
Get him, Winnie Butt.
Right?
That's gonna, we're gonna be rooting for that thing the whole time because you couldn't help but root for it like when it came across the log in the road. Like I laughed out loud at that part where it was like, well, the first joke was like, don't worry, I'm the fastest of this series. And it's like, meh, moving across. I was like, this is great. This is marvelous.
They have, for bringing that robot into the show, they have done wonderful things with it already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two episodes. Really just this episode.
Yeah, basically it's all from this. But they set it up so perfect. Like, you're going to appreciate the humor this thing brings. It's not just like, oh, hey, robot thing, I'm going to talk to you and you're magically just going to have what I need at this point in time. Like, nah, it's going to fix stuff and be logical about things. And yes, it may like today it could make the frequency that was required. But honestly, that's not really that far of a stretch from this kind of thing. Like, why wouldn't it be able to do that? You know, so it wasn't, ooh, I just magically pulled this out of my ass to save you.
Right.
You know,
Alita's not real wild about any of the plans that the loyalists have coming out of it when it comes to their attack method. The fact, I mean, they
electrocuted her and then like,
boy,
over drugged her because they're all like, why isn't she awake yet? And they're like, well, last time it didn't work too well. So we
ramped up the voltage,
gave a higher dosage.
That's when he punched him. He's like, that face was begging to be punched.
Yeah.
That was too bad they showed that one in the trailers because that was probably the best line of the episode. The whole shootout was nice in the for lack of a better term, the Space 7-Eleven. Like they just stopped off and it's like an old gas station. I like the way they're putting that stuff in there.
Yeah. I like how a lot of human day-to-day things are just still out in space everywhere. Like that galaxy decided, hey, we're gonna kind of make the same stuff, right? That we're all not that different, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when he's looking at food, he's like, does this look like beef jerky to you? Like, and she's like, last time you ate like beef jerky, like you were sick for like 3 days or something like that. And then he grabs the bag of chips on the other side and he gets so excited, and then the bag starts talking and like wiggling and moving,
screaming.
And he's like, Why? He like puts it down.
I think he. I think it must be contractually required for him to make that face every episode. That oh, why was it? It had the little puking thing last week. Yeah, I thought that was great. So let me ask him a little bit more serious question, and then we can talk about Alita and her plan with Clive and all of them, and all that stuff that happened. Do we trust Hath at all?
Yeah. Like, I think he's that dude that's like...
You know which one Hath is, right? You're bad with names.
That's her...
Confidant guy.
Yeah, bodyguard dude kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I think he's cool. I think he's playing both sides right now. I think the way he's shown it is his overall intention is to make sure she's cool. You know, good. He doesn't seem like he's going for power. Like, right away, if he's not, he's playing it off really well, you know. But I do think somewhere, like, he knows someone else that can wield this stone as well.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Like, I just don't think he's like, oh, I'm going to take the power and be Skeletor kind of dude. I think he knows something else that can maybe not make her be queen because she doesn't want to be, but the person that could do it isn't as good as they say they are kind of thing.
Okay, I understand, and that's a decent interpretation of what we've seen. I would like to bring a little bit more to that because after watching it a second time and watching the steps that he goes through, because they do a really good job in this episode. And if I'm all wrong, this is all for naught, but I don't give a shit. episode to throw you off is to show you the flashbacks at the same time you're seeing him in the now, so you don't necessarily Oh, that's the guy who was like coaching her through when she got, you know, crowned and was being, you know, and he's winking at her and making it, you know, taking her shoes for her and being like the, you know, the good guy that he always is to her. Then you get him and her now, and he always has that standoffish, you know, he's always that like prim and proper, always with his hands behind his back, you know, but he's the one that sent Amay and Isaac to that deserted town full of those rat things and looking for parts. Now, if he had done that and tossed him the whistle thing at that point, that'd make more sense. But it was his idea to send them there. And if they hadn't happened to be walking by the other dude from the Loyalist and him just chucking him the thing, and then, of course, Isaac setting it off and getting rid of it anyways, because that's what Isaac does, they were most certainly dead. And it could have been easily played off as, oh, God, it was an accident. What a horrific thing happened to us type thing, right? That, along with the conversation that Isaac stumbles upon at the end of the episode, and then some of the nuance, some of the things that Hath says to her as she's like, he may not be evil, minus sending her friends to their death, but and making sure that he is her only again. You know what I'm saying? Like, he sees those two definitely as a threat because they may have more control of, like, not control of her, but influence on her than he does, and he needs her to be. He needs to be her only. He needs to be her little finger. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of getting that. And I didn't quite catch it the first time. And then watching it the second time, I was like, nope, you sent them to their deaths. And then, about every other scene with him and her, it looked like decently just jovial on the outside. But he never let her get away from him. He followed her. He let her, in quotes, take her ship to go to this other idea, to let that part play out. But he also never wanted her to leave his, like, he didn't want her out of his grasp. And I think he's going to try to Littlefinger his way in there. And I hope I'm wrong, because I really dig the idea of just, like, a good mentor. But when the fuck has Hollywood given us, like, a just standard good mentor since, like, Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, but I don't think he's trying to Littlefinger, because Littlefinger was just trying to, like, fuck and get his way in, you know, like, he knows Alita is most certainly into space women. Like,
you're right. It wasn't the whole cat. I'm just talking about the two-faced way that Littlefinger handled business. His, where, you know, he was a guy you could never trust, but on the outside looked like normal. Like, if you didn't know him and his reputation, just knew him as a nobleman, you would, you know, he fooled plenty of people all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't get that vibe from this guy at all. Like, I also don't think he trusts her new friends. I'm with you on that, but his whole goal is to make sure the queen is good. Even at the end, when he's like, yeah, she's an ends to a means, he still has to be that way. Like, I don't see it as a power grab. I see it as she doesn't want to be fucking queen. What do you want me to do? Like, if we can get this, we can save our people kind of thing. Like, if she don't want to fucking do it, so be it. But I think the more we're going to have them two together, you're going to get this, some of the stuff he was thinking, like, she's kind of taken off his plate because they've got what they need. Now, if Mama comes into the picture and he continues to, like, seem like he's circling, mm-hmm. I'll be like, yeah, homeboy is just bad. But right now, I think in my mind's eye, it's more of, I got to keep her okay. Like, because nothing will happen if she's not okay. And I think he has plans, because it's, listen, from all fucking signs, and every time we have spoke to her, she says, I don't want any part of this. Right? Like, even now, she's like, I'm not your queen, I just want my mom. Like, she doesn't care about any of that shit that's going on.
Right.
So, to me, him saying shit like, look, she's just there so we can get the stone, like, I would be saying the same stuff, going, she don't give a fuck about any of us, right?
Right. And then that's the crazy part, because if their little side plan is just to get the Steerzod and be done with it, I don't know if there's some sort of, if it's the same place where her mom is, which I'm that's what they said, right? It's on Wix as well. Like, the Steerzod, I don't know if it's one of those things that, you know, they have to have Alita there to, like, she has to die before the next person can take it. Like, I don't know if they already know she's going to be queen. So if they just tell him, hey, we're going to get the Steerzod, you don't have to be queen, we'll go get your mom, you help us out and get that, and then you can just boogie. That's what she wants to do. But the whole
but I
thing
think
is
that would just make a short story. Like you gotta have, you gotta have the I don't want it, and then the dude that kind of raised her to be like, hey, remember when you said I'm the queen? Let's talk to the people. Kind of have that talk, and you have that. Ooh, they did seem like they weren't gonna work out, but they do. Like I think it's gonna be more of that. I don't think it's this weird, like, oh, she's got to grab the stone and then she fucking dies and then the power transfers because I was touching it. Like, no, I don't think any of that.
That is exactly what I think.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Cool. I love when we're on the exact opposite of ideas of what the show is going to be
like. Like I said, when they get Mama, if he still seems like he's circling, I'll just go, he's a bad guy. Like the Republic got to him or something. I still don't think it's a weird, like, Thanos, I can wield the power too. Kind of thing, because why wouldn't he have just done it when she was a little kid then?
This could be a whole different, this may not even be him. He could be a clone or someone who's
playing
him. Well,
that's what I'm saying, but I'm saying, let's just say it is him.
Yeah, I don't know, because he was, like, agreed. I don't know. You're right. I'm just saying there was a couple of times.
Villainous, you would have done it when she was a kid.
There were a couple times this episode where it seemed like what he was saying was not what he was, what he was saying was sounding normal to you if you're looking at it from one direction, but has a complete, like, underlying evil to it. I could be completely wrong, and I kind of hope I do, but I've learned that, dude, Hollywood, you don't ever take anybody in face value. Like, you just can't. There's somebody always has a secondary plan, and we already know that the entire loyalists don't care about her being queen. They have an idea with that magical brain, because it's mind control. Mm-hmm. The reason all the planets came together is because it let the people control everyone else's minds. So there's some crazy, I mean, I'm sorry, by the way, that they're bringing, like, mysticism into the show. I know you said that, like, episode one or two, where you're like, I hope they just leave it with just fucking just space travel. It doesn't have to be any goddamn mysticism. I don't mean magic.
Yeah. Can't get it all, but
you can't win it all.
Okay.
I like,
but at least they made it, like, simple mysticism. They're like, look, dude, it just gave you the power to control people. Like,
I like make them think I like the backstory. That was very cool. Because then, you know what? And it's the third episode, and we know that already. I don't have to wait till episode 9 of 10 to learn that shit. You just told me. Now let's get to the rest of the story, what everybody's current things they're not telling us are. That's what I want to know. So that's I love that. I got to give it so much credit. Let's talk the makeup and design crew for every alien. Why do they all have to have extended? This time
I started laughing, dude. I was like, oh god, Clay is fucking flipping shit because these things are running on all fours over here.
Long ass arms, looking like wheelers again this week. I'm like, okay, once again, fantastic makeup and props, prosthetics. I feel like those rat things, though, like when you first saw that they had long arms, but I think they were later on, they just had normal scratchy fingers. They actually may have been like had their hands in something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was freaky enough.
I think it was one of those things where when they were on the ground, their limbs were longer, right? Now, in real life, if that was a true creature, when we saw them climbing and scratching, their limbs would have been long. But man, throw some gloves on them, fucking give them some mitts and let them paw, right? Like, why are we going to make them put extensions on and then look? Because you can't make that look cool unless you could actually control that joint and digit.
Right?
Like,
yeah, exactly.
So really, you just have some dude holding on to it going like, man, I hope this doesn't look like me holding crutches, waving my arms back and forth.
Yeah.
But you were right. Like, when they were climbing on top of each other, it was just more normal arm. But when they were running, it was like, you know, like,
Yeah, that was a little bit freaky. And just a great kind of, you know, it's a good bonding thing for Isaac and Amay. That was good this episode. You know, the whole team bonded last episode. This one, they get their little side thing. It also was a fun way to get their ship repaired without actually having to repair it. Like, she found some shit. She's like, I like how she was grabbing shit she didn't need. She's like, I don't even need this, but I got to take it. Like, I got to have this one.
I was like, we've all been there.
Yep. It's like, this is a great deal. I have to buy this right now because it's on sale. Do I need it? No, but I'm never going to find this price again. And one day I may need it, but it's going to be a much higher price. I'm going to buy it now. Yeah, that's I know. I was like, I've been there. Clive's makeup, the big giant dude that she went to visit in the swamp planet of Rekor. Yep. Not to mention like the guards, the main guard who at the end goes to, you know, goes and sells her information. Like just his like gooiness.
Yeah, dude, like that was the best part. I loved how he kept like wiping his own hands like he was gonna get rid of it, you know, and then would like continue to talk and stuff.
Just strings of it everywhere.
Yeah, just everywhere.
And so you realize it's supposed to be just pus that just drips out of him all the time. Mm-hmm. Like from Yeah, that was definitely that was great, like gross alien design. I enjoyed that. That was cool. But like I said, Clive was awesome. Like that dude's whole head thing was just amazing.
Yeah, and he looked really sweet.
Very cool. And her whole thing with him, I like that she's been doing this long enough that she has people that she can actually call in favors. Like, hey, I'm here to remember that time I did that one thing. I'm here to collect what you owe me, because she's got years of laying low and doing favors behind her. And so, like, if this whole season is her going to another planet, going like, remember that one time? Fucking give me what now. Now it's time for you to do me. If that's the whole rest of the season, I'm okay with that, because it's completely believable. She's done nothing but keep her head down and just do jobs forever. So there had to be people that she did stuff for that she didn't want any sort of big fanfare when she came back. She's like, no, just pay me now. Shut the fuck up, and I'll come and you'll owe me later, type thing. Yeah. That's good shit. So yeah, I mean, it was just we're kind of on our way to the plan. Clive's gonna smuggle him in, but then we realize that who she's going in, and she's bringing the small crew with her. So it's the two folks we already know, plus the one skinny guy, who's also, by the way, his makeup is friggin' sweet too. Like all the lines, and there's a couple different aliens. This one, there's a bunch of different aliens we saw this time that were just some of the guardsmen from the Loyalists had the same kind of like lines carved, like the carved lines around their face. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's quite a few different alien species in this episode alone.
Yep.
Yeah,
the Loyalists are definitely from a bunch of different planets, which is cool. So you get a whole bunch of different looks and feels and how people behave. I was digging her mom's like hairstyle. Like I noticed it, like her whole head is shaved and then the wig has the braids and stuff, so all of it's bare underneath. It's really cool. Or at least it's shaved back to like halfway up her head, because all up here was all bare except for the braids that were like laying on it. I was like, that is crazy, her hairstyle.
I wasn't sure if that was like braids pulled from the back and laid across, or if it was like those were just where the hair was grown and the rest of it was just constantly shaved
away. Until the braid
was made, you know? Yeah.
That's very cool. But yeah, good episode. I mean, it didn't move us a whole bunch forward, but I didn't dislike it whatsoever.
It gave you enough background information to make what they're going to, like, oh, okay. Like, you didn't need them to continue to jump, because we were still kind of like, well, kind of curious about this. And they pulled it back in and gave you reasons why, like, you know, when she said they were attacked at 5, and then you get the whole backstory that he's been celibate for 5 years and, you know, has a kid that would be 5 about now. And
yeah,
then you basically know old lawyer boy, that's his reason for getting home. You know, like you thought it was, oh, he's in love with a girl. Cool. But he's like, no, he's got a family. Like something happened to him that he just got tossed the fuck out into space somehow. Because I'm still trying to figure out, like, I know I'm in the future, I feel like, but how far, right? Like, am I like 100,000 years ahead of time? But like, we still have lawyers. So to me, it was like, dude was just walking home and got actual like white lighted and then got away from that. And is now like, I'm trying to make my fucking way home.
Right.
Like not, oh, we were doing space travel and something happened and he just happened to be a space lawyer.
Right. Because I can't tell with his references to pop culture on Earth and to Earth customs if he is phrasing it so they understand, because he still knows they're called movies and he still knows what high fives are, and he still like knows them vividly, but you could also be, for lack of a better term, a scholar of the past, and he's like, you know, it's 25, you know, the year 2500 or whatever, but he like enjoys researching, you know, olden times when there was movies, you know what I'm saying? Or he could have just come straight from right now and, you know, just rocketed across space. And he just uses terms like an old Earth tale so they know what he's talking about, other than saying a movie and them going, what's a movie? Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like the Yippee-ki-yay. It came from a famous Earth tale.
Yeah, that is a good question. You know, is he just essentially dumbing it down so it's just easy to explain real quick, you know, the old layman's terms?
Well, the best thing is that the show is not trying to hide everybody's backstory. I think they told us Alita's main backstory a few episodes ago, and they told her the major queen, the younger backstory this episode. I don't think they'll be afraid to tell us Isaac's backstory. If we don't get an Isaac flashback to when he got hurtled across space in the next episode or two, I'll be surprised. I'm not going to be sad. I'll just be surprised because they're letting us connect to these characters without by telling us information, as opposed to giving us tiny little bits and then not telling us shit for the entire season, which some other shows do. So I have to give them credit. I'm not jaded whatsoever on the shows we've reviewed before here. I'm so sorry. Anyways, that's Nobody's Queen. Good episode. Good stuff. And I'm looking forward to next week.
Like a couple days from now?
I mean, yeah, next week for us. You know, I'm looking forward to the next time you and I talk about this. But yes, in like a few days. Yes, correct. Like,
wait, there's not an episode this Friday? I thought, didn't know.
Come on, you gotta pretend like we recorded this a day after, man.
Nope. Everyone knows that, because you always go, we have no schedule, it gets out when it gets out.
True, which is exactly why this is happening on a Tuesday. I can't. And it may get edited before the next episode comes out. That's still up in the air.
That's true.
So anyways, thank you everybody who has joined us this episode, who has found us for this season of Vagrant Queen, or who are still appearing after our numerous TV show reviews. Yeah, those things. It's been a long day. Just working from home shit. I'm sitting at my quote-unquote work desk right now, so it's a little bit like, I need to get up from this thing, man.
Yeah, I need to leave this general area.
I need to leave this general area right now. But thank you, everybody, as always. And don't forget to share us on all your social media. If you like what you hear, if you don't, well, then just tell everybody how much you hate us. But also link to us. That'd be fine, too.
Yeah, just talk about us. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll catch you guys next time.
See you guys.